code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. But there's a code of silence and it can't go on. Bridge the distance between you and me. There's a list of grievances, 100 miles long. There's a cold of silence, and it can't go on. We'll walk with your eyes open, but your lips, they remain sealed. Our vows are made of broken, be the truth you need to feel. Well, I need to know now, dog, need to know what's going on. Well, come on, 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 come on.
I'm Alan Watt, and he's cutting through the Matrix on the 23rd of April, 2008. There are so many things happening in the world of control freaks, you can't keep up with them. And on Friday, I'm going to talk about a new survey that's going to be done across Britain, where the government is doing 500,000 surveys, door-to-door of families, and literally going into every aspect of their lives, including their sex life, for the Department of Government Statistics. You know, the big department that George Orwell talks about. For newcomers, look into the cuttingthroughthematrix.com website and download previous shows to your heart's content and try to fill in all the blank spots that begin to make sense as to this particular agenda we're living through, which we call life. And go into Alan Watt's sentence, sentinel.eu. Download the transcripts in the various tongues of Europe and print them up and pass them around to your friends. Now, I've been talking about this agenda for years, and then when each part happens to come into being, it's, for me, it's depressing because it's like deja vu. It's boring. You know what the whole agenda is, and here you are talking about what's coming with every step, and sure enough, it happens. And people are always stunned when things happen. They can't believe it's actually happening. But for people like myself and for others who have woken up, it's very boring because now it's the next part and the next part that you're off onto, and you know what's coming down the pike, and you know how hard it is to get across to the general public who still live in La La Land and in Disneyland in the land of the 6 o'clock news. I talked about the psychopaths at the top, the big elite club of the military industrial complex. Those families that own the cartels across the world, they own the governments across the world, they often participate in their own governments before they go back into top CEO positions. And when you follow the individuals' lives, it's quite interesting. It's like Dick Cheney, the man who managed to skip all wars when everyone else was getting called up because he had the right connections. He ends up in charge of a country and the country's military at one point. And just like Huxley, he used to salivate over the thought of Tavistock sticking wires into the brains of people. Here's an article by Robert Cheney. It was on Yahoo News, in fact, this particular article, by Mark Thompson from Washington, Saturday, April 19th. I'll read about this article, read from it, to show you what kind of things turn on Mr. Cheney and the military industrial complex. Back with more after these messages.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA's secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Hey, everybody. This is James Martinez from The Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. This big illusion that we've been taught is actually a life. And I'm reading an article from Mark Thompson, who wrote from Washington, on Yahoo News a little while ago. It's also in Time as well, I think, Time magazine. Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, that secretive band of Pentagon geeks that searches obsessively for the next big thing. And the technology of warfare is 50 years old. To celebrate, DARPA invited Vice President Dick Cheney, a former defense secretary, well aware of the agency's capabilities, to help blow out the candles. They love blowing things out or up. This agency brought forth the Saturn V rocket, surveillance satellites, that's for all that's coming down now, internet, stealth technology, guided munitions, unmanned aerial vehicles, night vision, and the body armor that's in use today. Cheney told the 1,700 DARPA workers and friends who gathered at a Washington hotel to mark the occasion, thank heaven for DARPA. Well, you see, their heaven, of course, is our hell, and eventually some of us start to figure this out. Created in the panicky wake of the Soviets' launching of Sputnik, the world's first satellite, DARPA's mission, Cheney said, is to make sure that America is never caught off guard again. So the agency does the basic research that may be decades away from battlefield applications. It doesn't develop new weapons as much as pioneers technologies that will make tomorrow's weapons better. So what's hot at DARPA right now? Bugs. The creepy, crawly, flying kind. Agency's Microsystems Technology Office is hard at work on HIMEMS, that's Hybrid Insect Micro Electromechanical System, raising real insects filled with electronic circuitry, which could be guided using GPS technology to specific targets via electrical impulses set to the muscles. These half-bug, half-chip creations, DARPA calls them insect cyborgs, would be ideal for surveillance missions, the agency says in a brief description on its website. The scientist Amit Lal and his team inserted mechanical components into baby bugs during the caterpillar and the pupae phases or stages, which would then allow the adult bugs to be deployed to do the Pentagon bidding. HIMEMS program is aimed at developing tightly coupled machine-insect interfaces by placing micromechanical systems inside the insects during the early stages of metamorphosis, DARPA says. As the majority of the tissue development in insects occurs in the later stage of metamorphosis, renewed tissue growth around the MEMS will tend to heal and form a reliable and stable tissue-machine interface. Such bugs could carry one or more sensors, such as a microphone or a gas sensor, to relay back information gathered from the target destination. So that's where your tax money is going. High-tech to please the machinations of the military-industrial complex and all the psychopaths at the top. You can't feed the world. You can't have a stable economy. You can't help those who deserve help. But you can create billions for this kind of research into creating monsters which one day will be set loose on the public. They can assassinate people, obviously, with such bugs. If they can guide in the mosquito or whatever they want, a particular target, and the person drops dead, well, who's going to do a post-mortem and worry about that? The big boys will just stand around and whistle in the wind, same way as they do with the aerial spraying. They don't have to answer you at all. And we will be able to think it's all just a matter of coincidence. But that's what your money's working on. And in some science fiction movies, they've shown you, and I think there's one that Tom Cruise was in, where they had a condition called pre-arrest, where these creatures that were hooked up to electronic equipment could predict who was going to commit a crime or would possibly commit a crime, and they come in and arrest you. And when they were sweeping through looking for the suspects, they released millions of little bugs and spiders. They went up stairways and under doorways and through rooms and so on, and sent all the data back to their masters. That movie was put out years ago, and here they are telling you for the first time they're actually working on such things. The reason these writers for sci-fi came up with this kind of idea is because they're in on the know, and they give us predictive programming. And one day you'll be used to having armies of spiders coming flooding onto your door and checking through everything that you're doing, and it'll all be quite natural. Now, here's another article I'd like to talk about, because Aldous Huxley talked about how powerful groups of very wealthy men in combination could take over the entire planet with the scientific technology and very good communications used between them. And that's what they've done, basically. They've taken over your food supply, a few cartels, which probably are all one at the top. And through massive propaganda and massive lobbying of all governments, put us all on this GMO foods stuff. And yet, it's a completely different reality from all the propaganda. And this article here is from, I think it's called From Green Living. Yeah, Green Living. And it came from the Independent, the newspaper called the Independent. Green Living is the article. And it says here, an awful lot of stuff on here, exposed the great GM crop myth. Major new study shows that modified soya produces 10% less food than its conventional equivalent, by Andrew Fox. Last week, the biggest study of its kind ever conducted, International Assessment of Agricultural Science and Technology for Development, concluded that GM was not the answer to the world hunger. Genetic modification actually cuts the productivity of crops, an authoritative new study shows, undermining repeated claims that a switch to the controversial technologies need to solve the growing world food crisis. A study carried out over the past 3 years at the University of Kansas in the U.S. Grain Belt has found that GM soya produces about 10% less food than its conventional equivalent, contradicting assertions by advocates of the technology that it increases the yields. Professor Barney Gordon of the University Department of Agronomy said he started the research reported in the journal Better Crops because many farmers who had changed over to GM crops had noticed that yields are not as high as expected, even under optimal conditions. He added, people were asking the question, how come I don't get as high a yield as I used to? He grew a Monsanto GM soybean and also almost identical conventional variety in the same field. The modified crop produced only 70 bushels of grain per acre compared with 77 bushels for the non-GM one. The GM crop, engineered to resist Monsanto's own weed killer Roundup, recovered only when he added extra manganese, leading to suggestions that the modification hindered the crop's take-up of the essential element from the soil. Even with addition, brought the GM soya's yield to equal that of the conventional one, rather than surpassing it. This new study confirms earlier research at the University of Nebraska, which found that another Monsanto GM soya produced 6% less than its closest conventional relative and 11% less than the best non-GM soya available. The Nebraska study suggested that two factors are at work. First, it takes time to modify the plant, and while this is being done, better conventional ones are being developed. This is acknowledged even by the fervently pro-GM U.S. Department of Agriculture, which has admitted that the time lag could lead to a decrease in yields. But the fact that the GM crops did worse than their near-identical non-GM counterparts suggests the second factor is also at work, that the very process of modification depresses productivity. A new Kansas study both confirms this and suggests how it's happening. A similar situation seems to have happened with GM cotton in the U.S., where the total U.S. crop declined even as GM technology took over. Monsanto said yesterday that it was surprised by the extent of the decline found by the Kansas study, but not by the fact that the yields had dropped. It said that the soya had not been engineered to increase yields, and it was now developing one that would. Well, that was part of their drumbeat before, wasn't it? It would surpass the old crops. Drake's doubt where the company will achieve this, saying that it requires more complex modification, and Lester Brown, president of the Earth Policy Institute in Washington, and who was one of the first to predict the current food crisis, said that the physiology of plants was now reaching the limits of the productivity that could be achieved. A former champion crop grower himself drew the comparison with human runners. Since Roger Bannister ran the first 4-minute mile more than 50 years ago, best time has improved only modestly. Despite all the advancing in training, no one contemplates a 3-minute mile. Last week, the biggest study of its kind ever conducted, International Assessment of Agricultural Science and Technology for Development, concluded that GM was not the answer to world hunger. Professor Bob Watson, the director of the study and chief scientist, Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, and asked if GM could solve world hunger, said, simple answer is no. So there you have it. After all, the hullabaloo and the secrecy to do with the GMO foods, and it really was done all in secrecy, with secret deals done with the Canadian government, from these companies to the government, and using the Canadian public as the guinea pigs for this stuff, they're now concluding that they produce less crops. So what was the purpose at all? What was the purpose? There's always one or two or three main purposes to achieve. Don't do this for fun and not just for profit. It's also the fact that it alters human behavior. I'm sure that makes us bigger. back with more after the following messages.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Alan Watts, studying through the matrix, and just pointing out how we live in so many illusions which are broadcast into our minds through massive marketing and good propaganda, something that the big companies have lots of around, really, propaganda backed up with millions of dollars to push it across. Advertising can make you believe anything. And these characters also lobby your own governments to make sure that their product will be a winner. And there's nothing better than getting laws passed that people must use your product. That's what a good, sweet deal that is, isn't it? You create a product and get governments to pass laws that everyone must use your product. Now, I think we've got some callers on the line. I guess not from the last show. Is it Travis from Texas? There's no callers. Okay, I thought not. I think they're from the previous show. Now, here's an article which is important to do with autism, something that has been skyrocketing over the last 25 years or so. And it's called The Age of Autism, The Amish Anomaly, by Dan Olmsted, United Press International. This is Lancaster, Pennsylvania, April 18th, part 1 of 2. Here are the autistic Amish in Lancaster County, heart of Pennsylvania, Dutch country, it should be well over 100 with some sort or form of the disorder. I've come here to find them, but so far my mission has failed, and the very few I've identified raise some very interesting questions about some with widely held views on autism. The mainstream scientific consensus says autism is a complex genetic disorder, one that has been around for millennia, at roughly the same prevalence. That prevalence is now considered to be one in every 166 children born in the United States. That's amazing, isn't it? It's crept up to that. Applying that model to Lancaster County, where there ought to be 130 Amish men, women, and children here with autism spectrum disorder. Well over 100 in rough terms. Typically half would harbor milder variants such as Asperger's disorder or the catch-all pervasive development disorder, not otherwise specified, PDD, NOS for short. So let's drop those from our calculation, even though mild is a relative term when it comes to autism. That means upwards of 50 Amish people of all ages should be living in Lancaster County with full syndrome autism, the classic autism first described in 1943 by child psychiatrist Leo Kraner, or Kenner, at John Hopkins University. The full syndrome disorder is hard to miss, characterized by markedly abnormal or impaired development in social interaction and communication in a markedly restrictedly repertoire of activities and interests, according to the Diagnostic Statistics Manual of Mental Disorders. Why bother looking for them amongst the Amish? Because you'd hold clues to the cause of autism. First half dozen articles in this ongoing series on the roots and the rise of autism examined the initial studies and early accounts of the disorder first identified by Kaner among 11 children, U.S. children, born starting in 1931. Kaner wrote that his 1938 encounter with a child from Mississippi, identified as Donald T., made me aware of a behavior pattern not known to me or anyone else therefore, or theretofore. Kaner literally wrote the book on child psychiatry, published in 1934. If Kaner is correct, if autism was new and increasingly prevalent, something must have happened in the 30s to trigger those first autistic cases. Genetic disorders do not begin suddenly or increase dramatically in prevalence in a short period of time. That is why it's worth looking for autism in the Amish, to test reasoning against reality, largely cut off for hundreds of years from American culture and scientific progress. The Amish might have had less exposure to some new factors triggering autism in the rest of the population. Surprising, but no one seems to have looked. Oh, of course they won't look, because they know what causes it. Of course, the Amish world is insular by nature, and a small subset of Amish is a challenge by definition. Many Amish, particularly old order, ride horse and buggies, issue electricity, do not attend public school, do not pose for pictures, and do not chat casually with the English, as they rarely call the non-Amish. Still, some Amish today interact with the world outside many ways. Some drive, use phones, see doctors, and send out Christmas cards with family photos. They all still refer to themselves as plain, but the definition of that word varies quite a bit. So far, from sources inside and outside the Amish community, they've identified three Amish residents in Lancaster County who apparently have full syndrome autism, all of them children. A local woman told me there is one classroom with about 30 special needs Amish children. In that classroom, there is one autistic Amish child. Another autistic Amish child does not go to school. The third is that woman's pre-school-age daughter. If there were more, she said, she would know it. What I learned about those children is the subject of the next column. 3-year-old Julia is napping when I arrive at the spare, neat, cheerful house on Moser School Road near the town of Leola in Lancaster County. She's the reason I've driven through the budding countryside on this perfect spring day, but I really do not need to meet her. In the last column, I wrote about trying to find autistic Amish people here in the heart of Pennsylvania. I know there should be dozens of them. Occurs in some prevalence of the rest of the United States. Back with more on this topic. You'll find something very interesting. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA's secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Hey, everybody. This is James Martinez from The Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Alan Watt cutting through the matrix and going through the study on autism amongst the Amish community, and they found 3 cases, but here's the interesting part. He talks to the mother of one of the children, and she says this: "Unfortunately, our autistic daughter was doing very well. She's been diagnosed with very, very severe autism, adopted from China. And so she would have had all her vaccines in China before we got her. And then she has had most of her vaccines given to her in the United States before we got her. So we're probably not the pure case you're looking for." Maybe not, but it was stunning that Julia Inian, the first autistic Amish person I could find, turned out to be adopted from another country, no less. It was also surprising that Stacey Jean launched unbidden into vaccines, because the Amish have a religious exemption from vaccination, and presumably would not have given it much thought. She said a minority of Amish families do, in fact, vaccinate their children these days, partly at the urging of public health officials. Almost every Amish family I know has had somebody from the health department knock on our door and try to convince us to get vaccines for our children, she said. Younger Amish more and more are getting vaccines. It's a minority of children who vaccinate, and that's changing now. So it goes on about the other 2 with autism, And lo and behold, you'll find it's just the same kind of thing. They've either taken a vaccine or they were adopted children, adopted into the community. That's the kind of proof you need to see that it's a vaccine. It's not just the mercury in the vaccine. The plain facts are, go back into your history books, read articles put out by those who want to reduce the population and create a rather stupid, dull population to control during the big push towards global government, and you start to put two and two together. There's other things in those vaccines which attack centers of your brain, and that's just the plain facts. Hard, but true. So go to the phone now, and we've got Harley from Michigan on the line. Are you there, Harley?
Good evening, Alan. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
Good. Hey, listen, it was interesting that you mentioned that, because when you were talking about the vaccines and the Amish children, I can guarantee you that if you did a sperm count on the men in the Amish community, I bet you they don't have a problem. I bet you their sperm count has probably not haven't dropped if they, I know, yes, if they haven't taken any of the vaccines like we have. And it's funny that once you say that, I think about the book I've been reading. I read the book by Bertrand Russell, The Science on the Impact of Society. And one of the things that he talked about was food and population and how to bring it down. And he talked about how the scare and how that we need to modify the human gene, if you will. And basically he was just saying that we need to modify it to make them a more dumb servant, or serf or slave, as he would call it. And it's funny that we see this, what Aldous Huxley and what he talked about, how it's coming, it's just flourishing so much now. Where I work at a hospital here in the metro area, and now they're pushing out that they want all people at the hospital to start taking flu shots.
Yep.
Okay? They want you to start taking flu shots. And I'm saying, I told them, I've already said it, I'm not taking a flu shot. And they're talking about my job could be threatened. And you know, I told them, I can pack my bags. I know how to sow crop. And I know how to survive.
Yep.
I don't need to be in the system anymore, you know, because I'm not going to just bow down because what you want. And I'm finding out that you're not going to save everybody. And this thing is not
true
for everybody.
You're
to come. It's not going to wake up from it. So, you know, I just wanted to comment on that. And also one other thing real quick before I get out, and I'm going to let somebody get on. I got a DVD documentary, it's about Aldous Huxley. It's called It's called The Doors, the Windows of Perception. It's a DVD, a documentary he did. And I will have I have an extra copy. Would you like for me to send you one?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So when, the next time I'm floating around and I get to cross go over to Canada or the city over there to Windsor, I'll just send it that way. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All
sure.
Right, then. All right, Alan, have a good night, and I'll listen to your comments.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, Huxley was quite the character. I mean, when he was dying and he had cancer of the tongue, his last wish was to be shot up with LSD and mescaline, and he was given that wish. And so he went out going through various doors of perception or misperception. Who knows? We'll never know. He died a happy man. Now going on to Callum from Connecticut. Are you there, Callum?
Yes, I am, Alan. How are you?
Not so bad.
Okay. That's interesting. You were talking about autism. I just saw a commercial on TV about how 1 in 150 kids born today will have it. And I was asking my wife, actually, if that's was that something that people got, say, 200-300 years ago? You know, she didn't know, but what do you think?
For shots?
Well, no, but autism itself.
Autism used to be extremely rare. It used to be 1 in 160,000.
Really?
And it's a different kind of autism. The child showed no signs of progression along the milestones from its birth. The new type of autism kicks in generally within 2 weeks after its multiple shots, around the age of two. And then it starts going backwards. At 2 years of age, it's already saying dada, mama, and so on. And suddenly it goes quiet. And they know darn well at the top it's a reaction. A it's an intentional reaction. They know what this does to the brain. And again, you have other characters who've written about targeting the brain with chemicals and even viral agents which can target specific parts of the brain to bring down the IQ level and make people more docile in general.
And even frequencies and such, right?
Yeah, there's many ways to do it, but chemical means, and the warfare establishment industries are heavily in bed with the pharmaceutical industries. They work together on warfare designs, and they can bring any chemical compound straight on to a particular part of your brain and wipe out that part. And that's what they said at the talk, too. Guys like Arthur Kessler says we shall have to destroy that part of the brain that gives people their individual thinking. In a new system, a new world, they won't need that. They won't need their individual identities because the state will be making all their decisions for them. Yeah. And then going back to Lord Bertrand Russell, he talked about the communists, knowing they were doing the same thing in Britain and America, but he said by the use of the needle, they could bring down the IQ and create a more obedient population.
And it's like they could do that behind like the Iron Curtain and such, because it's like a rogue state, you know, like where there's, it's like against everything, or like the Nazis and stuff like that. Like it's like a rogue laboratory type thing where...
It is. It's a closed society. It's a perfect test.
Right.
For statistics and study, yeah.
And it's like beyond legal, you know what I mean? Like maybe that's why they do the...
That's right.
You know?
That's right. They can make anything legal. That's what they've done in the Western Hemisphere. They made it legal. Not only legal, but mandatory. You get all these shots for your children. And they come on very, very heavy if you refuse.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I was wondering if I could just... read a little thing here that I have. It's from a book called Towards Century 21. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I found this in the trash like 10 years ago. And I think it's done by the United Nations. But interesting, I just looked in the list of authors, and it's one of the authors is Alan Watts. The guy from back in the 70s they're talking about. Metaphysics and such. Anyways, mm-hmm. It's just a quick little thing about it's the title here is Possible Steps Towards the World Rule of Law. It says, it is quite likely, however, that the decision makers of Century 21 will have to continue to concentrate their efforts on the problems of peace and security and the replacement of the rule of force with the rule of law. It says, the main ingredients of an effective world order are well known today. But just to bring it down, just a couple paragraphs, it says, there can be no rule of law as long as some major powers are absent from the main institutions of the world community. Membership in the United Nations should not be considered a privilege, a reward to a well-behaving nation, but an obligation to be imposed on every country, whether it likes it or not. Like, I thought that was pretty wild. You know?
That's how it is. There's nothing democratic about the United Nations or the way it implements its agenda. It's an authoritarian structure, yeah.
But that's so apparent, its lack of democracy. It's like... You know, just whatever.
Yes.
It's like a forceful thing.
That's
every country should shed its sovereignty type idea. I don't know. To me, this was written in 1970.
Yeah, and there's many, many more like that. I have books from the 1920s from the League of Nations giving the same kind of talks out.
Talking about
the
same ideas,
agenda.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
you know how it is. Like, these books, there's so much in these things. Like, you know, it may be like one paragraph out of like five pages. That's, you know, but it's
mm-hmm.
interesting, man. If I could just do one more, because this is just the next paragraph down, and it alludes to a book by Herman Kahn called Thinking the Unthinkable, and it says a limited nuclear exchange that would frighten the leaders of the world into accepting world government on the spot in order to avoid further destruction. If this should happen, we would be wise to have a good plan ready, and we should start working on it before it is too late. You
exactly,
know?
And that's what they used the whole Cold War and the threat of nuking mutually assured destruction. It terrified a whole generation that this was going to happen, so we give up all our rights. So that's
exactly
quite right.
And then the next step with it being replaced by the idea of terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And the same thing's happening with us, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the books are all out there, and they're very dry and boring, but you get that occasional gem of a paragraph. And it suddenly wakes you up. And that's how they do it. They tuck it in amongst very boring material. Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyways, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks for calling. Gus from New York.
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh,
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Talking to you, Alan. I admire you. You're so much smarter than me. Everything's come hard from music to you name it. But I will say I was in the Army in 1969, went to the local library, wanted to find out about the rich people. But it was a naive thing, Alan. I thought I'd see how they did it and maybe I could follow suit.
Yes.
And the book I checked out was called The Rich and the Super Rich by Ferdinand Lundberg.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're familiar with that?
Yeah.
And it opened my eyes quite a bit. And I had problems in the Army. To make a long story short, I do draw compensation now, and I've listened to about 30 of your shows in the last 6 weeks. I went to your website, too. I listen on RBN.
Yeah.
And my question to you, Alan, I have about a 9-month supply of the 4Bs. I do have a Bible, King James Version. I have ammo. Because I'm a disabled vet, Alan, with a nervous condition, it's hard to get the firearms, but I got my hands on a couple of 22s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about a 9-month supply of canned goods, food, and I have... I was wondering, this is going to be prolonged. They say it's a 100-year war, maybe another 30 years, having trouble getting supplies or whatever. How long of supplies should I have on hand, Alan? I'm on limited income, and to get to 9 months of everything took a great effort.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, to go into bulk stores and buy things like beans and so on, get 5-gallon pails, and you can seal them.
Yeah.
And you can seal them with actual types of glue that will last for years.
Yeah.
Things like beans and stuff, anything you make soups up with and buy in bulk, it's very, very cheap, and it'll keep you through. And you can store up a lot of stuff for quite a few years that way.
Yeah.
Get a little buy. And that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get out. I'm totally disabled now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think I know what you mean, and I do have a helper that helps
yes.
me at the grocery store get the items,
yeah.
and I buy them on sale, try to
mm-hmm.
buy it.
And if you go into places like pizza shops and so on, they generally have the 5-gallon pail buckets with the very good airtight lids, and you get them free. And if you tell them to collect them for you, and you just start filling those guys up and putting that lid on there. And
I should be able to go on my own? I have about a 9-month supply.
9 months isn't bad at all, because a lot happens in 9 months. And even for those who can move, get on the move then.
Okay.
You don't want too
and
much.
And on the gold and silver... I have about $9,000 in bullion coins.
Yeah.
90% silver and American Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand there may come a time when I'll need it to pay my utilities and get some groceries. And how much should I have on hand?
It's so difficult to say. I mean, I always think back to FDR when he came in. The bankers, of course, put him in after they caused the World Depression.
He was Illuminati, wasn't he?
Yes, and he also got the law for everyone to turn in their gold to the government.
Yes, I know that.
And it's also, see, when that happens and they prohibit you from exchanging that gold, or anyone that you offer it to has to report you, then you have to know who you're dealing with. There has to be people you can trust. Because they'll do the same thing again.
You think they'll confiscate gold?
It's very probable, because these guys don't want anyone to escape outside this system.
Yes, I
and
understand
so trying to...
this, but aren't there other ways for them to get a lot more gold and go on to small...
Oh, they don't need it. They don't need the gold. They just don't want you to have any other means of exchange.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
wasn't... They want you with a ration card going to them, yeah. But the music is coming out now. And thanks for calling there, Gus.
Thanks very much, Alan. Keep up the good work.
Talk to you again. Back after these messages.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Ron Paul did not quit. He is still in the race. Most Americans do not understand how the election process works. The media is lying. John McCain does not have the Republican nomination. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. After the mainstream media wrote a hit piece on how Ron Paul quit, many supporters quit as well. Ron Paul has stated he will continue his run for presidency as long as he has your continued support. Ron Paul has a plan. The delegates have not yet been voted on, and they are voted first in county, then state, all the way to the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win. That's ronpaulflags.com to find out more on how delegates work. Stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today, or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526.
I hope Alan Watts coming through this weird old matrix, something we didn't design. Something that you're born into, something that's fully up and running, and it works simply because everyone else is in it too, and their indoctrination has worked on them, and they believe it's all quite natural. Therefore, they bounce their ideas against each other, come back with the same answers as they give themselves, thinking that we're all sane, we all have the same opinion and everything. The world really is round. Governments really do exist, and they really do govern, and they take care of us. And that's what we've been taught to believe. Yet nothing is further from the truth. The governments work on agendas which they don't themselves understand. You don't have to understand. You just do what you're told once you're picked to be a president or a prime minister. And that's when you're pulled aside and reminded that you're not really the boss. And then you get a set of demands made upon you which you better fulfill. You get offers which you can't refuse, you might say. And as Professor Cal Quigley said in his own book, Tragedy and Hope, and his other book, The Anglo-American Establishment, talking about the CFR in America and its British counterpart, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, he says presidents and prime ministers have been picked for at least 50 years by these institutions and presented to the public. He said they know their part in the great plan, the great agenda, and he said a few of their advisors do as well. That's all they need. And he's talking about both sides of every party. He said the little politicians beneath them, the smaller up-and-coming ones, allowed a certain amount of free competition amongst each other. But it didn't really matter because they're not in on the great plan. But the guys at the top are handpicked. That's left or right, makes no difference. They're handpicked. They both work for the same agenda. And my whole life long, I've never seen this agenda falter because someone was voted into an office and it did something he wasn't supposed to do. We're right on schedule. You notice that Mr. Bush and the two prime ministers, Canada and Mexico, signed another part of their integration deal yesterday at the Air Summit, or Earth Day it was called, and they planted a tree just to start off another new grove, I guess. They love groves. And they have two more to go, to 2010, and then the US, Canada, and Mexico are fully economically, militarily, and governmental-wise completely integrated by 2010. And they're using this crisis they're bringing upon the world, this financial crisis and the food crisis and all the other crises, because this is the age of crisis creation, they're using all of that to convince the public that this is the only way we can come through it. It's becoming under a system identical to the European Union. They make the future happen by creating the circumstances. Not hard to do when the boys and the cartels who own your food supply of the planet belong to your little club. Not hard to do when the guys who literally own the water supply of your planet belong to their little club. Not hard to do when the guys who own the military-industrial complex and all the troops who work for them in your little club. Quite simple, really, isn't it? Quite simple. Well, all the good, this is for goodbye for tonight from Hamish and myself and Ontario, Canada, where the sun is now shining. And it's good night to me, your God, all your gods go with you.
Gasoline prices.